We're back at the Daviess County Museum on Memories 107.9 and The General 95.9 and 1580 WAMW. I'm Dave Crooks, and you're listening to a special Basketball Memories Roundtable recorded Monday night from the Daviess County Museum in downtown Washington. And now back to the president of the museum, Doug Doherty.
Thank you, Dave. And before we get into session three, I want to finish up a few things on Sam G. We didn't get done talking about you, Sam. So Norm Beasley has a story on you that he wants to tell.
You know you can't believe a word he says.
Thank you, Sam. When I was younger, we were going down to a place called the White Steamer.
And in the big city?
Yeah, in the big city. You know, we were country folk. But anyway, we're going down Main Street, and that's where we were going to be going, and we were behind this car, two cars behind. This car stopped right on the main street in Washington. And there were guys that jumped out of that car that had Washington Hatchet jackets on. They opened that hood, and they all thought that they, you all right, sonny? Were you one of them? And they had that hood up, and they were so concerned about that car wouldn't run, and they was pushing on it. And this guy there next to us, he rolled the window down. He said, "Is that damn Sam G?" I've got to tell you something here. We got scolded before we came in not to talk about anything besides Daviess County, but I've got to. There's a guy in our midst that won 15 out of 20 state titles in the state of Indiana in his tennis. And when I was at North Vernon, he was also the tennis coach at North Vernon. In 1985, he was elected the National Coach of the Year in 1985 when he's at North Central. Byron Buckley, would you stand up, please? I seen his name the other day, and I said, I know the man. I'm going to get you.
Great story. Sam, we wanted to ask you about Branch McCracken. What was it like to play for him? And
right. Well, Mac was a wonderful coach. He gave you a lot of leeway to just live your own lifestyle. But the team, it was truly a team because of Mac. I mean, he brought us together, and everybody had their role to play, and people would play their role. But as I told you before, I wasn't getting to play very much at all in my senior year. And one game, unbeknownst to me, the fraternity brothers got together and went to the ball game and all sat together right behind Max, right behind the bench. And hell, I don't know who we played, but team got about 20 points ahead. And the fraternity brothers started talking. We want G. We want G. We want G. Boy, and I could see Mac as God. He was boiling over with. But all at once, he looked down the line, and I always sat on the end of the bench. He looked down on the line, and he went, "Oh, God, he's putting me in the game." I run up there tearing my jacket off and everything. And I was standing there looking at him. He said, "G, get up there in the crowd. Somebody wants you." That's a cruel story, but that is also a true story. And I'll tell you one more. I got so many of them I can't stop. But anyway, I wasn't getting to play. So come halftime, you know, the team would go into the dressing room and kind of regroup and everything. But, hell, I didn't need to be in there because I wasn't going to get to play anyway. I already knew that. So, anyway, I go up to Mac and said, "Mac, could I do you care if I go out and shoot around during halftime while everybody else is in here?" And he just looked at me. He just wanted to get rid of me. I know. He said, "No, go on. Get on out of here." So I went out there, and I had Lee Aldridge, another player. I said, "Come go with me and throw the ball back to me, will you?" And he said, "Sure." So he came out there with me. And so we started out just shooting kind of layups and stuff like that, and I just kept getting back and back and back until I got back clear out to the center line, and I'd hit a couple from the center line, and the fans who normally are getting popcorn or something like that, hell, they were just screaming and hollering and carrying on like that. Well, we go back in the dressing room and come out and play the rest of the game. That went on for about three or four games, and the team was still losing, but I was still putting on my show at halftime, and the people at the fans at halftime started staying in their seats instead of getting popcorn. They started hollering at me, shoot, 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 you know. So I go out there and start shooting, hitting those long ones, and they just start cheering and hollering like that. And I look back towards the dressing room when they were really getting wild, and Mac was looking out the door to see what the hell is going on out there. And finally he would wave me like that, come back up. So I just picked up my ball and took off and come back to the dressing room. And when I got to the dressing room door, he said, gee, I want to know who in the hell gave you permission to go out there and shoot at halftime. I said, well, Coach, you did, don't you remember? And he said, get in here.
So great story, Sam. And
I'd like to ask you one more question. The fans never forgot that, and I think the fans were responsible as much as anything for me finally getting to play, because Mac told me, he said, okay, you're starting tonight. They're going to put that pants around Archie so you can't throw the ball into him. So I want you to come across the 10-second line. I want you to stop, pick up the ball, and if they don't come out and pick you up, then you shoot. Now, can you imagine having a coach to tell you, cross the 10-second line, just stop and shoot? That's what I had, and the fans got into it soon. When I bring the ball down the floor, as soon as I cross the 10-second line, they start hollering, shoot, shoot, shoot. And it was a really fun time, and I hit a good percentage out there behind the line from about 30 foot out, really. And it's worked out just fine for us.
That's great, Sam.
I tell you, Sam G was the last two-handed set shot shooter Indiana University ever had, and he could hit him.
Huh.
You don't see it. You haven't seen one since he played over.
That's interesting, Sonny. And that's a very good lead into your story, Sonny Myers. Keep that microphone in your hand. You were on those teams. What are your recollections of the 53 Sweet 16 team and 54 team won the sectional? You played with a lot of good players on that team. I understand Joe McDuffie tells me you always told him you were the best player on that team.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. But no, we had.
But seriously, Sonny, tell us about that.
We had a group of guys that were, and I was very fortunate to be one of them to be able to play on that team. And there's one person that hasn't been mentioned up here very much, and I think he should be recognized very much, and that's Charles Murray. I mean, you talk about an athlete. He could run like a deer. He was a good basketball player, jumped. In fact, going into our senior year, I don't know whether my dad said something to Ivan or what, but he asked Ivan Holland, our coach, how he thought we were going to be this year. And the coach said, we won't get any other rebound unless it comes to the net. And because of Charlie Murray and myself, I'll say, we could jump. And like Sam talked about, we ran the fast break, everybody did. And defense wasn't mentioned very much when we practiced.
I was going to ask all you guys sitting here if you guys played defense back then, because I look at the scores
much.
And I'm seeing 80, 90 points a game. And
not very much.
A lot of offense.
We got the ball off the board and hit those one of the two guards on either side. Somebody fell the middle, and we just tried to beat the defense back, and we did a lot of times because we were pretty fast. But it was a good and a great memory to win the regional. And one of the greatest things that I've ever done in my life is cut down that net.
And Norman's got a story about playing in that gym you guys played in. This was before the Hatchet House was built in the 60s. This was the old Hatchet gym. And Norman, I think you wanted to talk about playing in that old gym.
I have a few memories from that, and I think there's a group that have had the hair pulled on their leg from the hatchets when you get up next to take the ball out of bounds. Well, I had heard about that, and I was taking the ball out of bounds, and the referee was kind of pushing me back, and while he was pushing me back, someone pulled a hair on my leg, and I kind of jumped a little bit, and I looked at the referee, and he said, "It was just a girl."
Sonny, you went on. You were also a heck of a football player, hell of a football player, actually. Went on to a four-year full ride to University of Louisville, and I know your season was, or career was cut short, football injury after your freshman season. But do you care to tell us about that? What it was like going from playing, you know, star football player for the Hatchets, going to a huge school like University of Louisville?
Well, I. If a ball was there, I wanted to play. And in football in high school, you didn't play football here until you were a freshman in high school. They didn't have any junior high program. And, of course, when I got to be a freshman, I went out. And I'll tell this little joke about Sam G in freshman football. He came out, but when Sam was a freshman in high school, he was only about 5'7", 5'8", maybe at the most. And I played quarterback, and I was a pretty good-sized boy for a freshman. I probably was 5'9", or so. And anyway, we were playing Vincennes, over at Vincennes, freshman football. And we weren't doing very well at the half, and Wayne Turpin was the coach. And he came into half, and he said, "Gee, can you play guard?" Sam says, "Hell yes, I'll play in damn place you put me." So anyway, we went out, and they kicked off to us, and we ran it back. And Sam came in and started playing guard, and I called the play and got stopped almost the line of scrimmage. And everybody got back in the huddle, ready to go. And there Sam had the biggest guy on Vincennes with his hand around his head. And he kicked him out. So he played two plays, I think. And then Sam didn't continue to play football. But when I was a sophomore in high school here, I would say pretty close that was probably the best high school football team that Washington ever had, because there was about three or four of those guys on that team that went on and played college football, and two of them went to University of Louisville, and that's probably one of the reasons I got to go to Louisville.
And I won't go into all the records you had, but I know when you graduated in 54, you held, well, most of the football records. I don't know all of them. I know you had the career were the leader in career points scored. You were the leading or second leading rusher in career rushing yards. Just an excellent.
Well, Charlie Murray was on that team too. In fact, the backfield for that team when I was a senior was Charlie Murray, Don Babrick, who was a very good football player. He wasn't very big, but he was very quick, fast, and Larry Wiggs. And we had a fast backfield, and if you have a fast backfield in high school, you had it made, and we did. And I finally had to talk to coaches and let me play halfback because I couldn't throw the ball. And after we started running halfback, the coach said, "Well, who's going to call the plays?" And I said, "I'll call them." So I called the plays, and when I got tired of running, I let Charlie run.
And I got one last question, Sonny. before we move on, and I know this is a basketball roundtable, but one of the players at University of Louisville you played with, because you've told me this story several times before, Johnny Unitas, was the quarterback at University of Louisville. I believe he was a senior when you were a freshman. Is that true?
Yeah, but when John was a senior, Louisville football was very mediocre, to say the least. It was bad. And nobody who knew who Johnny Unitas was at Louisville. They didn't learn who Johnny Unitas was until he got in the pros, and then he proved his point. Yeah. His goal, ultimate goal, when he went to University of Louisville, was to play quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers because he was from Pittsburgh.
Great story. Any of you other guys have any comments about the team Sam and Sonny played on or about their play? Remember watching them play? John?
I do remember Flavian playing. I remember Sam playing. I was a young kid back in those days. But I remember when Sam played for Indiana, and he was a good player. He could hit those two-hand set shots from the middle of the floor. And I want to say something about when I was at Montgomery, Indiana. I was a assistant coach there 1 year, and I became a head coach the next year. That was Bar Reeve. And
so were you the first
I was the first coach at Bar Reeve. Yeah, that's right. And
I think that deserves an ovation.
Yeah. When I came to Bar Reeve, they had won one game in 2 years. And my year as a head coach, we won 9.
That's a great job.
Good improvement.
So moving on to the 1955 sectional. The 1955 sectional was won once again by Washington. They beat Ligoti St. John's 81-38. In the sectional final. And then came 1956, and the Plainville Midgets, and Jerry Osmond, Lloyd Bateman, and others won 65-55 over that Washington Hatchets. Over the Washington Hatchets. Yeah. You don't remember that, Jerry?
I remember it well.
So, Jerry, I want you to tell us a little bit about that Midget team and what it was like. I know you guys had a 3- or 4-year record. It was just unbelievable, and it meant a lot to the team. Town, I grew up in Plainville, and when I was a youth, that's all I ever heard about was that 56 Plainville team and that 59 Odin team. So, Jerry, tell us about that team.
We had some other great teams at Plainville. If I have time, I might talk about them a little bit later. But since you're asking about the 55, 56, 57, 58 areas, when two things happened to Plainville. Lloyd Bateman moved to town. And
from Odin.
See, he'd been up at Odin in junior high, and they didn't know what basketball was up at Odin. They had Beasley and guys like that. When Lloyd came to Plainville in junior high, he said that's the first time he'd ever played basketball, is when he came to Plainville. So that's... You got any more to say, Norm?
No, you don't get it. I'll get you.
But Lloyd moved to Plainville in junior high, and he's a big boy. And We had a group of returning older guys coming back the next year, and so Todd Nelson, Kenny Nelson, he just won 2 sectionals at Linville, but he heard about Plainville, and so he came to be our coach, and he was there for 4 years. He won 82 games and lost 14 in 4 years. After he left us, then he went on to become the first coach at Castle and had some great wins down there. When he came, let me ask. He's kind of like a second dad to me. So, and he's 95 years old. He still drives. Each year he drives from Chandler, Indiana to the Plainville alumni meeting. And he just was my mentor when I got into coaching. But we're still very close. But he was a great coach. He's one of those that the players would go through a wall for. But he, in his first year there in 55, we were 19-3. That was Lloyd Bateman's freshman year. We had another great player by the name of Don Allen, who was, he was 6'3". He and Lloyd were big players for us. And so we were...
And that was the midgets, and you were big.
Everybody wonders where we got the name midgets. It was back in, when they first started basketball at Plainville, they were all short players, so they called them midgets. But Lloyd was about 6'5", and about 220 throughout his high school career. And so we had a good year that first year that Coach Nelson was there. Then the next year was 1956. We end up with a record of 25 wins and 4 losses. But it had been 19 years since Plainville had won a sectional. And so we won the sectional, and that was just beyond our dreams. And we were a small town. We were a small school. We had about 15 students in a class. So there's about 60 people in high school. And, of course, that school down the road had about 1,000 in high school, and we had about 60. So we drew Petersburg, we beat them, then we beat Montgomery, then we beat Lagoda, and then we beat the Washington Hatchets in the final game. So that was great. I had some great teammates besides Lloyd. Monty Dimbo was a great shooter, and Jake and Phil Lawyer, Jake and my cousin Larry Osmond. Then in 57, well, let me back up just a little bit. Do we have time to talk about the Wabash Valley?
We got a minute, and then we're going to go on break and finish, and then we'll talk about Plainville again after the break. So, yeah, you
okay.
Got a minute.
I see that Odin is following me, so I get some of Beasley's time then, right? Okay. I'll save the Wabash Valley till then. That year was particularly rewarding to us because we had this little old gym at Plainville that wasn't big enough to play our games in because our crowd got to following us so close in. And so that particular year when we won the 25 games, we did not play a home game. We played, our road games, and then our home games, we rented the Odin Gym and played on the off nights up at Odin. So we did not play on a game on our home floor. So we felt like that was a pretty good accomplishment. Still got time? The other teams, I'd like to talk about Plainville just a little bit. Earlier in the 50s, Harry Chickadance, who was assistant coach at Washington when they won the 2 state championships, he came to Plainville and coached 2 years. And in 1950-51, I think, and he had won 16 games 1 year and 15 games another year. And Bill Slatton was on that team. Many people remember Bill. Bill went on to play college ball at Oakland City, and Glenn Busey was also on that team, and he played at the University of Denver. So they had some great players there. But what was unique, to show you the size of our little old Plainville school, that 51, class of 51, had 9 students, 2 girls, 7 boys. And in Plainville, you play basketball, so all 7 boys played basketball. And so... Then the year following them was a couple of real good players. Darrell Eaton, who was a referee for many years. A lot of you remember, know Darrell Eaton. But then Leon King lived here in Washington in his latter years. Some of you may remember Leon King. Everybody knew him as Corky King. But when I was looking through the old records, Corky liked to shoot the ball. There's 2 box scores I found in the sectional that Plainville played when Corky was a senior. He shot 40 times one game, and he came back the next game and shot 30.
How many did he hit?
5 or 6, something like that.
With that, we're going to take a break, and we'll talk about the midget teams of the 50s after the break. Thank you.